It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three. Covers by 20.
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. Home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Hello, Cougar fans, and welcome into another edition of Cougar Sports Saturday here on KSL News Radio. And I got to tell you, as we bring in my co-host Mitch Harper, it feels good, Mitch, to be here on the air. We're going to be talking hoops, football, a bunch of other things, especially after BYU did something earlier in the week on the hardwood that they just have not done very often in, what, the past 8-9 years. It just felt great that the Cougars on Thursday night were able to get a victory in Moraga, California.
No doubt about it, Matt. Happy Saturday to you. And it's finally a game day edition of Cougar Sports Saturday. We haven't had one of these since all the way back on December 12th when football and basketball, when basketball was playing Utah and football was playing San Diego State. The basketball teams had a lot of Saturdays off the past few weeks, which has been kind of unusual in the month of January during a basketball season. So excited to preview the big matchup tonight against San Francisco, but also break down that huge win in Moraga a few nights ago.
Yeah, and in an hour, I'm really looking forward to this. A couple pictures have been trickling out of Provo in regards to football. So what does that mean for the quarterback position? We'll discuss that at 1 p.m. At 2, we'll have KSL Sports' Kyle Ireland on to talk NFL playoffs and Zach Wilson in the NFL draft. So we got a really good show for you guys. But of course, Mitch, we've got to start things off after a big BYU victory with the leadoff. Focusing on BYU basketball.
The leadoff. A look at the stories making headlines right now. It's time for the leadoff on Cougar Sports Saturday.
Yeah, the big story right now in the world of BYU sports is their win Thursday night in Moraga, California. BYU defeats St. Mary's on the road 62-52. And I think it was significant for multiple reasons, Mitch, but first and foremost, that was a win that was much needed in terms of boosting the resume, and also along those lines, that's just something BYU has really struggled to do, win games against St. Mary's on the road. It's crazy to think that they've beaten Gonzaga more times since being in the WCC on the road than St. Mary's. It was only the second time they've ever done it, and the fashion in which they did it was also instrumental in terms of what this season could become if they can continue to win and get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that was a huge win on Thursday night, and it wasn't pretty, though. Man, I'll tell you, that first 30 minutes or so, that was some ugly basketball from both teams. Like, it was a grind to watch. It was a grind for the players, but they got it done. And defensively, that's what made it impressive, is that we always know that BYU can turn to the offensive well, but to shut down St. Mary's for 10 minutes, the Gales go on a scoring drought with 0 points. They couldn't even hit free throws. BYU was all up in their head. They couldn't do anything, and BYU closes it out to get a 62-52 victory that I think, Matt, now to me, this win signals the start of the season. I think now BYU fans everywhere listening are like, okay, basketball season has now arrived. Because let's face it, it's been kind of a weird year with the pandemic. Fans haven't been able to attend. So it's just been kind of a strange year. And up until, you know, about Thursday night, football was kind of at the front of every Cougar fan's mind. But getting that big win on the road, now I think people are like, hey, basketball season is the focus now, and that's exciting because this BYU team has the potential to get in the big dance, and I think if they get the right matchups, they can do some damage.
And I think that win, Mitch, was a turning point in the season. Not that BYU had been struggling up until this point, though. They were inconsistent up until this point. They had some really nice wins. You beat San Diego State on the road, and unfortunately that win's not looking quite as good now as it did a few weeks ago, but you're able to beat Utah at home. You referenced that to start the show. Good wins, and you have disappointing losses against Boise State at home. But this type of game where it just was not going your way, you were not playing BYU basketball, you weren't getting up and down, you weren't able to create a lot of turnovers, and you weren't hitting the glass as hard as you should in the first half, and you fight through it. And Coach Pope talks about this all the time, and I think this is that win where he can point to and say, this is what I mean when I say it's a grind, you're stuck in the mud, you can't, you're not able to do the thing. You just have to fight, 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 and you got to remain patient and work through things. They did that for 30 minutes, and then about that 10-minute mark in the second half, the offense started to click a little bit more, the defense cranked up, and then just to win a game like that where you make one three, you shoot 10% from three, Mitch, 1 of 10 from three. You can't hit a three-pointer. Your offensive struggles, you only score 62 points, but defensively you hold St. Mary's to 52. You get that win. I think that instills confidence in this team. I think they've found something with some rotations. Now they still need to be consistent. That's been one of the issues with the team all season long, is stringing together multiple games with this kind of effort. But man, to win a game like that on the road, and you saw the video clips afterwards. If you haven't, you can look on BYU basketball Twitter. Just the emotion in the locker room. Coach Pope screaming at his players, the celebration, because he knew how significant that win was to win in that fashion on the road. Just a huge turning point, I think, for this team as they get ready for WCC play. Because now you have your two hardest games. I guess this game tonight actually is still tricky. We can't write off San Francisco, but you get St. Mary's and Gonzaga at home now. If you can just take care of business against the lower-level teams in the WCC, you're probably making the NCAA tournament.
Well, and honestly, Matt, you know, because when you talk about today's game a little bit, San Francisco at 6 p.m. tip here on KSL News Radio, I think they're a more talented team. That was one thing that kind of I was a big takeaway during that St. Mary's game, and why I think a lot of Cougar fans watching that game were frustrated, because that St. Mary's team was not that talented. I mean, no. Randy Bennett is one heck of a coach, but this was the year you had to get St. Mary's on the road because their talent, not that great. I mean, there's no Jock Landale. There's no Jordan Ford. You know, Cousy, and I'm thinking to myself, is that Bob Cousy's grandchild? Like, who is this guy? Who's this Cousy cat? He was tearing it up until that stretch, but I mean, he's like a former walk-on guy. Like, yeah, BYU, that's their star player at St. Mary's. So the talent Randy Bennett's team this year is a little bit down. So BYU had to capitalize, and the defensive adjustments were brilliant. And that's why I think Cougar fans should be excited about this program this year and into the future, is that this coaching staff does a great job in-game adjustments and also adjustments in the program. And we'll talk to Mark Pope coming up a little bit later this hour. He's going to be joining the program to get ready for the San Francisco game. But, you know, making lineup changes. I mean, they changed the starting lineup. Connor Harding, the season-long starter, the guy that was going to potentially replace Jake Toulson, that's what I thought coming into the year. He goes to the bench after that zero-point performance against Gonzaga. Trevin Nell steps in, and I got to imagine, Matt, that was something that was challenging for the locker room. It was difficult for the program. I mean, on Tuesday when, you know, Pope had practice and he spoke with the media, he was visibly frustrated. Like, he looked like a guy that was like, okay, that practice, whatever transpired in the Marriott Center, that didn't look good. That didn't go well. And to have a turnaround and to have guys bought in still to their new roles, that was a great win. And to grind it out in a way that's kind of unorthodox for this program under Mark Pope, not making threes, doing it on the defensive end, you can build off of that going forward. Because in college basketball this year, there's no great teams other than Gonzaga. And they already faced that team. Right. So I think BYU can do some good things going forward here.
I will say this, though. I'm not sure that starting lineup change had much to do with the outcome of the game. Trevin Nell, he hit that three. He had some nice moments offensively. That floater that he hit to give BYU the lead in the second half, it was a pivotal moment. Defensively, I didn't think he was very sharp against St. Mary's. There was some questionable fouls by Trevin Nell on the perimeter. Connor Harding only plays 8 minutes. I really think the biggest difference in that second half was just the energy. You see Colby Lee diving on the floor, changing possessions. Caleb Lohner was crashing the glass like a madman. Richard Harward has been he's been unbelievable since, what, the Utah game or maybe even before that. At the beginning of the year, it didn't look like you could play him. And now he's averaging 20 minutes a game. He's been good on the glass. I just think BYU has found something, especially in late-game situations when you can insert Gideon George, Caleb Lohner, Richard Harward. Those guys have made a big difference off the bench for this BYU team. And now I still think, even though we did see that first tweak in the starting lineup, I still think we got to tweak a few more things there to figure that out, because you only have one guy scoring in double figures in the starters group, and that was Alex Barcelo. I don't know if that if we found the right formula for the starters, but it, in terms of closing games, I think Coach Pope has found something with Caleb Lohner maybe at the four, and you can intermix Harms and Richard Harward at the five. It's that second half was some of the best basketball we've seen from BYU up to this point.
And I think what's exciting too, Matt, is that this BYU team has, I don't think, played their best basketball yet.
No.
And they still have quite the resume to this point. You're looking at the rankings right now in the net rankings, which, if you're not familiar with those net rankings, that's what the selection committee uses to determine seeding and things like that. So it's the most critical ranking system. BYU comes into today number 34 in the net rankings, and they have three quadrant one victories. By comparison, the number one team in the net rankings, which is Baylor, they have only one quadrant one victory. So BYU has played six quadrant one games. They've won three of them. All three of their losses are against teams that are projected to be in the NCAA tournament, according to Joe Lunardi right now. So BYU, even though they're still kind of finding themselves a little bit, they've got a quite nice resume that's going to put them in the conversation to be probably a bubble team in the NCAA tournament. But as of right now, they should be in the field of 68. And today's another great opportunity to improve that resume is San Francisco. Oddly enough, Matt, they're number 88 in the net rankings, which is 10 spots higher than Duke. Are you kidding me? San Francisco's ranked higher than Duke.
Wow.
It's bizarre. 2021 is already off to a crazy start, but so it's another good chance for BYU to bolster the resume and make lay claim to getting back to the NCAA tournament this year.
All right, we'll take our first break here on Cougar Sports Saturday. On the other side, we'll continue talking about this BYU basketball team getting that signature win that they needed, another road victory that has them in the thick of the tournament discussion. We'll continue to talk about what BYU needs to do going forward to ensure an at-large bid to play in Indianapolis for an NCAA title. So we'll take the break here. Stay with us. We'll be back after this.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.